At Great Women in Fraud, we help each other. I was on Tracy Brown's podcast over a year ago, and now she is on Great Women in Fraud. She is a body language expert who is also a former member of Team USA for cycling. Timely that the Olympics are on right now. She also is a persuasion expert. Lying is about persuasion at times. She kept busy during COVID. Let's find out what she did. Okay, Tracy Brown, CSP. And for you guys who don't know what a CSP is, this is in the National Speakers Association world. This is Certified Speaking Professional. And what is the percentage of speakers? I'm not one, but you got that designation this last year?
In 2020, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what is, how do you get it and what is that?
Oh, so certified speaking professional is the highest earned designation that you can get in the National Speakers Association. And basically what it means is I've spoken a lot. My clients are willing to answer a questionnaire that I was good. And it takes a minimum of 5 years to get it. It took me 12. So I had to turn in every speech that I've done in the last, 12 years and get a survey done by my, by a good percentage of my clients that say I'm legit and not kidding around. And about, I think 12% of people have it, 12% of people in NSA have it. And so it's an honor. It's a big deal. It's a career milestone. And I'm super proud that I was able to do that. And, you know, it's beyond that. It shows, hey, I got a little bit extra over, you know, when they're looking to hire speakers. I'm a CSP. Well, she's probably pretty good. So anyway, I'm really proud of that.
Well, you should be really proud of that. And now we met kind of via NSA, but I want you to tell everyone what your shtick is because I love it.
Oh, thanks. Well, I am the fraud busting body language expert. So my job is to help anybody spot and stop fraud before a loss happens. Most of my clients are in the financial world. So insurance, banks, anything, you know, financial services. I do that. I've also found a little niche in industrial safety, because it turns out when someone tips over a bulldozer, that's a big expensive problem. And there's a lot of lies in that situation. So I also work with sales teams and because buyers are liars. So if you can have the right information, you can make a better decision and you can start to understand how to read people and answer their unspoken questions. So not only do I talk about lie detection, but I have pretty in-depth programs on persuasion and influence and in profiling people like I said, answering their unspoken questions so that you're a step ahead of them and you can elegantly persuade and influence. So when you put that all together, it's a really powerful skill set to know more than is immediately obvious from just about anyone who you may come across.
Yeah. Did you ever think as a child that you would be doing this?
No, it was not on my radar. And I am actually a body language expert by accident. When I got into speaking, I had been let me take you through my career. I've been reading body language for years and years and years, much longer than I even initially thought, because my first career was as a professional bike racer. And I found out really quickly that cycling at its core is for little people, like flyweights. And I'm a big person. And so I had to use every tool that I possibly could to keep up because I had jumped in the deep end of cycling without even knowing it. I grew up in Dallas and there was this guy kept showing up to the rides, showing up to the races. His name was Lance and he was really fast. And, you know, for all the trouble that he's caused our sport, I owe him a little thanks for becoming a body language expert, because the thing about cycling is when you can't keep up, ain't no one going to come get you. You are out there they leave you and you're out there on your own. And so I kept track of everyone. I had notes on everyone because I started to realize that everyone had their own tells and they were screaming what was about to happen and what they were going to do next. So if I could react to it before they actually knew they were even going to do it, then I gave myself that half second advantage. And that's when I started to win. So, Anyway, so that was my first career. I got into the mental side of excellence, and I became a hypnotist and NLP practitioner. I studied Hawaiian Huna with the kahunas in Hawaii. And I saw clients for years and years, and I got really good at reading them and understanding what was going on with them, in what they were leaving out of their stories. And then I decided it was time to speak and help more people at once. And I was going to talk about, mind of a champion, that whole thing with bike racing. And it turns out, it's overdone. It's not done well most of the time by athletes. And, you know, while I had some interesting credentials, they're not, I'm not on the Ring of Fame at the Broncos. Right. That was right about the, it was hard to book, and, it was hard. And that was right about late summer 2008. And then what happened was the recession, and everything I had canceled, and I wasn't near as good of a speaker as I thought I was anyway. And, a client of mine called me right then, and he said, "Hey, I know you know this body language stuff. I need you to put together a program and come in for my lawyers." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Money to pick and persuade a jury using focus groups, right? That just dried up. Lawyers had to pick and persuade a jury on the fly. I know you know this. I'll see you in 3 weeks." And it really went from there. I put it on my speaker sheet, and I couldn't talk anyone out of it. And I'd say, I got this great program, Inside the Championship Mind. You're gonna love it. Or I have this body language program. And they all went, "Body language? What?" And so literally I just ran with it. And, it's evolved over the years to where mostly what I do is focus on lie detection. And I found out when you call it fraud prevention, people pay you about three times more for that. And so I've ended up studying alongside, FBI agents and Green Berets and things like that. I'm the private citizen in the class, but I end up getting invited, and everybody has a gun, but me.
So, but if you can escape on a bike, you're going to be the fastest one.
Oh, I've been on high speed bike chases, through campus. It turns out campus police are really easy to outrun. So
oh my God.
That's a long time ago though.
We're going to have links to your YouTube page because I watched that one so we have to like backtrack. So you ended up in fraud, fraud detecting, mm-hmm. You have a podcast, you have books, you mm-hmm. speak. But we're going to backtrack a little bit to my speed round, which I love the speed round.
Okay.
You know what? People find out all sorts of things about you via the speed round.
And am I going to find out anything about myself?
Maybe.
I don't know, Kelly. Go easy on me.
The first easy one. Are you a Mac or a PC person?
PC.
Oh my God. You're the only one so far. Well, there's one that's kind of halfway. It's interesting.
No, don't understand Macs at all. I know.
Okay. Yeah. Who makes better embezzlers or thieves? Thieves, men or women?
Oh, someone just asked me that question today. I think because of hanging out with you, I think it's women.
Oh, okay, like that. What is the best money you have ever spent professionally?
Oh, professionally. Can I answer personally too?
Sure. Oh yeah.
The best money I've ever spent personally was when I bought a swamp cooler for my house. And because I had a house without AC and it got direct west sun in the evenings, and it would heat up. So, and it would be 85 degrees in the house. And anyway, I got $1,200 together, and I had a friend install a big swamp cooler. And Kelly, it was just complete joy the first night that I used it, because apparently I had left the furnace on, at the end of the season. It not a big deal, right? But it's just kind of switched on. I woke up that first morning and the heater kicked on. It was so cold in the house, and I was like, "Yes, this is awesome." So anyway, that's the best money overall. The best money I've spent professionally is two things. One, on my demo videos, I spend a lot of money on those. And I just spent a pile, and I mean a pile, on my TV show pilot. I developed a TV show during the pandemic. It's called Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups, and we're working on selling it in Hollywood. And it's all about the body language, the secrets hidden in plain sight with fraud cases. So, yeah, video.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I will have links to your stuff because you have great videos, which goes to the next sort of question is, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, gosh. You know, I struggled during the pandemic a lot. You know, this time last year, I didn't know if I'd ever work again. And while a lot of things went virtual, you know, they push out, but it would seem pretty grim. So fortunately, I've set myself up so that other than, you know, big emergency global emergencies, I do pretty well. So like professionally, not really a whole lot keeps me up at night.
Well, then that flips to what gets you up in the morning.
Oh man, being awesome, getting out there and making it happen. And I think, you know, beyond that, it's about stepping into your full potential, and I know where I'm going, and it's just, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I'm going to get there. So it's about hustle. The hustle gets me up.
That's very cool. And then finally, you're going to have a great answer to this one. Who is a famous crook or cop that you want to go to dinner with?
Oh, a famous crook or cop. You know what? Let me think on that through just because okay. I don't have anything that's on the tip of my tongue, but let me, Well, part of me, I wouldn't mind going out with Elizabeth Holmes. I think that would be pretty interesting just to kind of get, because here's why. And I'm sure there's others. I think, she intentionally speaks in a super low voice. It's not her natural voice. And I would like to see if I could get that to crack. So, that's one thing.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm listening to The Cult of We, the story of Adam Newman and WeWork.
Oh yeah.
And he's not a crook by legal standards.
No, but, he's just a narcissist, right? So that's different. Like that's a different deal.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, now your videos, and you guys have to go to her YouTube channel and website because they're great, but you do have a podcast and I was honored to be a guest, but you're in the middle of rebranding. So it's the Fraud Busting Podcast, but you're going to tie it to Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups.
That's right. I just decided we're going to rebrand it. People can find it. If you search anywhere podcasts are right now, and we're what, at the end of July, it's called Fraud Busting. And very soon it will be called Truth, Lies, and Cover-Ups. So search for one of those two. And definitely episode number 3, I believe you are, Kelly, the first person I interviewed that I didn't know. So you were very brave.
Oh my God. So I love the your one video that you have hidden in plain sight. And why don't you tell us about lying?
Why don't I tell us about, okay, I'm trying to remember which video that, are you talking about the time I lied?
The
shed. Okay, so here's the deal. My husband is super handy. He's a farm boy. He is a engineer. He's literally a rocket scientist. And he's also a mini hoarder. And so he comes to me one day and he says, Tracy, we do not have enough room in the house. And I said, well, I think if you would throw out some of your junk, we would have room. Well, that wasn't what he wanted me to say. What he was looking for was blessing to build a big old shed behind the garage. And so I was like, okay, cool. And so he does, and he builds us a magnificent shed. I mean, this thing is magnificent. And this was Sunday afternoon. It's like 3/4 done, right? Monday morning, there's a knock at the door. And, you know, I don't know how it is at your house, but at my house, someone knocks on the door anymore, you're always like, who's there? Who's that? What? Why is someone here? Right? Because when you're little, you're like, yay, someone's here, right? So I was in my pajamas. It's 8 a.m. And because when I'm not out dressed up speaking, I'm working at home. And And so I open the door and there stands Stan, the friendly code enforcement guy from the city. And it turns out our neighbors behind us, who we don't like them anyway, they really didn't like our shed. And so this is how it went. He opens the door, there's Stan, I'm in my pajamas. And he says, "So what do you got going on here?" Right? Because Stan wants me to self-incriminate, but I am smarter than the average person who opens the door for Stan. So I said, "Well, Stan, what do you think we got going on here?" And then he says, "Well, I don't know." Right? And now I'm getting angry because he's trying to manipulate me. So I said, "Well, Stan, if you don't know and I don't know, I guess we got nothing to talk about now, do we?" All the while, I am embodying the mannerisms of a liar. I am itching. I am scratching. I'm shifting all around. My eyes are going every which way. And I don't know what's going on. There is a barn in my backyard. You can see from space. It's so big. And I don't know his intent. Is he going to come around the corner with a wrecking ball? Like, I just need to get Stan to go away immediately. And so and I'm hoping he hasn't been in one of my classes because I've done stuff for the city, right? So he gives me his card to give to someone who did know what was going on around there. And then I got him to leave. I called my husband. I'm like, "Oh my God, we are so in trouble." And the story ends with us refusing to give the city the $4,000 that they wanted to keep our magnificent barn in place. And so my husband, Matt, he took it down. He'd put it together with screws and instead of nails. And so we had all these scraps and he builds us this little tiny shed that fit perfect in the city code. But then there was more scraps. So he built another one that fits in the city code as well. Because clearly in Boulder, Colorado, it's better to have a shanty town than one magnificent shed, right? And so the point is, no matter how much you know about lie detection, you're going to be forced to lie at some point. And you're not going to be able to rub out the signs because it happens really quickly. And I could feel this coming on. Like, I knew exactly what I was doing. I was like, "Oh, crap." Like, here I am. So anyway, we turned it into this great story. And when I tell it in my keynotes, it really gets people because no one likes the man keeping you down, right? And no one likes city inspectors. And here I am just lying to him, just lying, Kelly. So, yeah, so that's one of my favorite ones.
So when I was a customs special agent, I had the pleasure of having one of my suspects being polygraphed.
And oh, tell me about that.
I knew nothing of polygraphs except for the fact that I didn't ever want to take one. Uh-huh. And so, you know, customs had polygraphers. Uh-huh. And I got to see, well, I had a couple of people polygraph, but I got to see one guy get polygraphed. I'm literally in a closet with the one-way window.
Yeah, yeah.
And the polygrapher told me before the break, he goes, "I'm going to get him to crack." He's like, "You got to go in and see." And I'm sitting on top of boxes, like so uncomfortable. Uh-huh. I saw the guy physically break.
Oh,
and it
what
was
did he do? What did it look like?
Just this relief and like sinking into the chair and uh-huh. like literally the weight off of him. Uh-huh. It's like music. It is like, and for the polygrapher, you know, there's nothing more than he wants for the guy to say, "Yeah, I took the $7,200.
Well, so let me tell you about polygraphers first. Remember, I've gone to these classes, you know, FBI, Green Berets, like these guys are tough as tough. The first one I went to was a pre-employment screening class because all cops and firemen and everything have to go through that just because you can cause a lot of problems if you get the wrong person right in there. So they hand us a class sheet first thing, like who's in the class. First five guys on there, their title is polygrapher, right? Next guy, polygrapher. And I'm sitting, there's 30 of us in there, right? I'm sitting next to the only other woman in the class. And I kind of nudge her and I'm like, "All these guys have like five wives." I'm like, why are they here? Like, why would they put that on there? And she's like, "No, that's polygamist. These are the polygraph guys." I was like, "Oh, right. Note to self." Get that right. So, but you know, to get people to break down like that, what you got to do, you got to ask the right questions to increase the cognitive load that so they do it because they just can't take it anymore. And, you know, for the general public, if you ever want to listen to a great interrogator, watch Dr. Phil. He's not just the TV psychology guy. He's actually a very highly trained interrogator, and man, he can stack it on to some of these people that think they're going on for an interview. They're going to beat him. You're not going to beat Dr. Phil. It's not going to happen.
Oh my God. That's so funny, because you know what? There's a woman who, embezzled like $400,000, and she was physically sick. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. You know, this had gone on for a long time. She mm-hmm. went home one day because she was like having ulcers.
Yeah.
And she literally turned on Oprah, and it was when Dr. Phil was a guest. And he's like, you have to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
And at that moment, she's like, she's looking at her babies, and she's like, I'm going to go in and tell. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to get fired. I'll pay the $100,000 back, which ended up being more like $400,000. And he fired her, and he got her prosecuted. But it's a Dr. Phil moment. Like, he's like, you have to be true to yourself. And she was raised well and everything mm-hmm. like that. And she went in. So that's interesting. Another Dr. Phil. Huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dr. Phil. He's not a joke. Yeah.
So you did NLP, is it neuro-linguistic programming?
It is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one class or course I would love to do.
It's interesting. And I think, I'm hot and cold on NLP. I took it in a therapeutic, bent with it. And it gives you some amazing tools to make significant change in your mental state, in your beliefs, in your like the way I look at it is, like a lot of therapy and things like that, even, you know, doctor treatments, they're to get you back to baseline, right? NLP has the tools within it to get you to awesomeness, like from baseline to awesomeness. And so that's why I really like it. The problem is, some people, and you know, people are going to take me to task on this, and that's okay. I think some people do NLP for the sake of NLP. I think the brilliance of NLP is applying it to a certain use that's really gonna pop, right? So, like I said, I take it into profiling people and persuasion and influence. And other people use it for different uses. So I think it's in the adaption where it can be used really well. I think some of it's hokey and like step inside the circle and all of a sudden your problems go away. It's like, okay, you know what? That's ridiculous. And that's why, and there's some people that use it for good and there's some people that use it for not good. And you know, more power to them, whatever they want. And, but I think when you start to realize like the basis of it gives you a new map for how your brain works. And then what can you do that's amazing? Like what thoughts are really holding you back? That's where it gets pretty neat.
Yeah. I just, I'm a huge behavioral economics, behavioral mm-hmm. science fan. And then that, you know, kind of got like, oh, NLP 's been around even longer, mm-hmm. but again, like, the people that you've dealt with, are they bad people?
Like
bad decisions?
Like the people who have committed fraud or the ones right. I'm working on with investigations. I'll tell you, I have some podcasts coming out with two guys and they're not bad people at all. And they, cause everybody has a different reason that they commit fraud. One guy, you know, I'm like, what'd you do with the money? And he's like, well, you know, I'll put it in my 401k, got the kids' college fund going, you know, so they have that kind of motivation. I think a lot of people kind of get in a pickle and they don't know how to get out. And one guy that I interviewed, he's like, you know, I was depressed. I was looking for the answer. I was buying my buddy's beer when we went to the Packers game and it made me feel good for a little bit. And so like to have that means to have that wherewithal. And so I think most fraud kind of starts that way. And then people figure out that they're not getting caught, and then they get greedy and they just kind of keep things rolling. And then all of a sudden, and they're able to outsmart the auditors and for a time. And that works as good as it works until it doesn't work anymore. And that's kind of how I see it going. You know, now here's the thing. Everybody has their motivations. On my podcast, I interviewed Maria Marusco, I think is her last name. And she's a mafia princess, like straight out of Italy. And she was doing it. The things that she was doing, transporting guns and money and drugs and the whole thing. So she felt like her dad would love her, you know? So there's all kinds of reasons that people do it, and they see the opportunity, and then they have just enough financial smarts to think they can get around the system. And, that's, like I said, it lasts as long as it lasts, and then it doesn't last anymore. And, you know, the thing with companies is that I don't think they're ever going to find all the fraud in a case like that. Like, they're never going to know the complete loss, because what's the benefit to them of not just move on? Like, you just got to keep going. Right. So to pay someone to dig, to find all this, it just doesn't seem worth it. So, you know, what'll happen is these guys, they end up slipping up, right?
They get sloppy.
Yeah. Yeah. They get sloppy. They slip up. One guy told me, he's like, you know, I just kind of had this realization that I wanted to get caught so I could get all this behind me. Right. My wife didn't know. I mean, and he said that, he's like, I knew I was running from depression and this was my way to do it. So, you know, some of them get out and do it again, because they don't, especially like the PPP loan. You probably saw there was a guy who was going to court for that. And while he was waiting for court, he did it again, right? Another $500,000. And so there's a little bit of addiction, I think, in there, a little bit of addictive personality. There's power. There's prestige. There's keeping up with the Joneses. And then there's the other people, like, can I buy food? And so it really runs the gamut. But in interviewing the people that I've interviewed who've, you know, admitted what they've done, there's themes, right? There's patterns throughout that.
So one of the things that now you have your new TV show, which we're mm-hmm. very anxious for, but one of the questions I ask is, what do you binge? Like, that has to do with your field.
And what do I binge? I'll tell you what I've been watching. You know what's really good is The Behavior Panel. And they are, because like I said, I'm on the list of top body language experts. These guys are on there too. And there's four of them, and three of them are military interrogators. And one guy is, I don't know, he's kind of the artist of the bunch. He likes to say things in a flowery way. But they go in and they look at true crime interrogation videos and things like that, and they'll break them down. And it's really high level, really good stuff. So they're on YouTube, and man, they're just crushing it.
Ooh.
Yeah. And they're all just quality guys. Like, I know some of them, and yeah, just can't say enough about because it's real, and it's not scripted. They're not trying to spin a story or have an agenda. They're just like, hey, here's the body language. Here's the verbal signs of deception. This is what we see here. And the way they do it is really good.
Okay. So I'm thinking of, what was it? Was it called Lie to Me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like that?
I did like it. And, you know, Lie to Me was, they got Paul Ekman involved in that. And yep. Paul Ekman is the guy that, really, I guess, brought microfacial expressions to light. And here's what he did. I don't know if you know this, but so in the 60s, right, he's working at UCLA, and he's trying to figure out if our emotions are learned or if they're innate, like within us. So what's he do? He goes and he tries to find the people who've never been to the outside world. So he goes to Papua New Guinea. And I might be telling the story a little bit wrong, but it's pretty close, right? So he goes to Papua New Guinea, brings his camera, and he figures out how to communicate with them. And he'll tell these natives things like, oh, your kid just died, right? And as he does that, he takes a picture and sees if it's consistent with someone like in the middle of LA or in the middle of wherever, who's been socialized, been around a ton of outside influence to see if they have the same baseline emotion in how it shows up in the face. So anyway, pretty cool. And the show Lie to Me, they had him in as a consultant, and it was kind of neat. They solve crimes that way. And I think the storyline got a little thin. He said it got a little too Hollywood for him. So anyway, but yeah, it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I did an interview one time in a dental office, of course, because dentists get ripped off all the time.
Oh, totally. I work with dental groups frequently.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah. So we're sitting there, me, the CPA, the dentist, his office manager, and then this person comes by who works in the office. And the dentist says to her, Kelly's going to come and talk to you next week. And literally the funniest thing, she starts backing up, she hits the wall.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, oh, okay. And so she leaves. And I say to the CPA guy, did you see that? And he's like, what? And yeah, I'm like, oh my God. And guess what she did? She called Monday morning and she quit. She never showed up ever again.
Yeah.
And that happens. She knows. And she wasn't the one who was stealing, but she knew.
Oh, yeah.
So she wasn't guilty, but she, you know, it was just so funny. So the dentist didn't notice it. The CPA, who was a CFE, also didn't notice it.
Oh, really? The CFE? Wow.
Well, yeah, he was much more of an accountant type. Mm. But it was so funny because I'm like, if she could have pushed herself through the wall to disappear, she would have.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a bad liar myself. Like my mom had a joke that like my lip, when I lie, my lip kind of goes like
all right. Well, now that we know.
So, and I always say the lie isn't so bad. It's the cover up of the lie.
Oh yeah. Oh, totally. Cause you have to work so hard to do it. Cause lies aren't connected to emotion. They're not connected to time. They use a different part of the brain, and you have to make up so much stuff. You got to keep it straight. I mean, that's why the body language falls off the plate. Right. So yeah, I mean, it's just easier to tell the truth. And, you know, beyond that, it's just easier to not like just do stuff that you're going to get busted for. So, you know, even if you're in a pinch, you know, it's just easier to not do that, you know, cause I talk to banks, you know, bank tellers, they're like, oh, you know, the kid's sick, I'll pay it back Friday. Right. And the drawers don't balance. But no one knows the drawers don't balance and they figure it out. Right. Or, you know, who's really bad? Vault tellers. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Because everything's on, you know, quote, dual controls, and they have cameras in the vaults now. So there's cameras in the vaults. So, but forever, you know, you get someone to turn your back, and then all of a sudden, you know, a stack of hundreds, you put a stack of ones, like 100 on either end, and the middle's filled up with ones. And then the car dealer down the street calls the bank because someone came down and they paid for a car with a stack of banded hundreds, you know, and it's just like, come on, y'all, try harder. At least go to the next town over. Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is just awesome. So what do you want to tell the audience that I haven't told the audience or asked you yet to sort of close this show out with, like, besides don't lie, or if you are going to lie?
Well, you know, like pay attention, because I always say this in my talks, pay attention or pay with pain. People are screaming at you all the time, exactly what's going on. It's up to you to see it. And it's up to you. Like, what we do is we rationalize it away. Oh, they're having a bad day. No, they're freaking lying to you. Like, don't let this go on. Like, stand up for yourself. And you want to watch people squirm, just say, you know, something like, why should I believe you didn't do that? Right. And then be quiet. Like, you expect an answer. Pay attention gets you really far.
Well, that's the other thing, the pregnant pause, when you throw it out there and you just like, I mean, we even do this in the speaker world. When you throw your fee out there, don't say anything, stop, quiet. And you do that also when, you know, you're interviewing someone, mm-hmm. don't talk mm-hmm. on top of them.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Decide, man, if you can be less uncomfortable than they are, just wait. And they open their mouth and man, the stuff they'll say.
So have you ever, I said we were closing, but this just came to me. Okay. Have you ever had someone where you just were like, they're a psychopath. No matter what, I'm not going to break them.
Yeah, totally. And they don't have to be psychopaths. They can be actually narcissists are that way. Right.
Well,
so,
yeah.
So yeah, for sure. And then, I mean, I have a friend who's doing that now, and, she comes up with these stories about how much she's speaking during the pandemic. It's like, you're not on a plane that much. Like, there's not that many conferences, you know? And she's smart. She's a PhD, and I'm not going to give any more identifying information, but, you know, pretty soon me and my friends were just like, all right, take what she says, subtract 3/4 of whatever she says, not just numbers, but emotion and sensationalism, or maybe more than that. And then that's the truth. Right. And so I think it's important to, understand that, you don't have to break someone. You don't have to. You can know more than is immediately obvious and start to make the right decisions on, you know, in this case, who do you hang out with and what are you going to listen to from them? Sociopath, psychopath, you know, people are kind of born that way more often. Narcissism is developed over time. It's a defense mechanism to not being seen, right? Not feeling seen and heard. And so, it kind of doesn't matter, right? It kind of doesn't matter. If you know who's lying, then pay attention to that and do the right thing. I just prefer not to like to limit my exposure to that crowd. And here's the thing, not all narcissists or sociopaths or psychopaths, not all of them are in jail. A lot of them are highly functioning, right? And they can talk their way into leadership positions, which is difficult to deal with if you're an employee. However, you can start to know the truth.
Yeah.
You can start to know the truth.
Well, Tracy, I can't thank you enough for being on this, because the great women in fraud, we deal with this all the time. And I love how you have, I'm going to say edutainment.
Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really important. And I love that, you know, you're doing a TV show. Like, how amazing is that?
Well, it'll be amazing when it gets on TV. We're working on selling it in Hollywood, and you know, it's been, people can find the trailer for it, online. So you can see it's on my YouTube channel, but if you look Truth, Lies and Cover-Ups trailer, if you just Google or search that in YouTube, it will come up.
And I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'll see what I'm up to. So, it was really fun to do. I learned a ton. Doing it. There was nothing that I didn't have my hands in except the lighting. I didn't know anything about the lighting. So costumes, makeup, hiring the actors, writer. I have an Emmy nominated writer out of Hollywood that I talked her into helping me out, and site visits, site selection, like the whole thing. I did it, and man, it was completely overwhelming, and it is going to be completely amazing when we get this thing, when we get it on the air.
I can't wait. I cannot wait. And I will update and put it when you get it on the air and everything.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, for
so
sure.
Thank you again, Tracy, so, so much.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a joy just to hang out with you.
So interesting that Tracy rode bikes with a guy named Lance who turned out to be a big liar. Be sure to check out her podcast, which I'll list in the show notes, and her trailer for her new TV show. She's got some great videos up on YouTube. Thank you again for tuning in, and see you next week.